Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, we've got some great tours lined up for 2025. So, of course, what do you expect me to say? We got some average tours lined up for 2025? No, I'm going to tell you they're great. And so if you want to go with us, we've got three different tours. In June and September, we'll be doing our normal Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. And then that'll be back-to-back with Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, George Washington's Mount Vernon. So if you want to stay with us for the whole week, you'll see all that when we'll take care of you the whole time. So, or if you want to go on one or the other of those trips. So those are June and September, perfect weather time for those trips. And then in October, we've got a trip to Boston. Please come to Boston. Well, we're coming. Please come to Boston in October, and that'll be, we're going to see the Freedom Trail, Lexington, Concord, the Boston Harbor, just everything about Boston and the greater Boston area, which is so significant to early American history. We're going to be going there and seeing these sites, and Stephen McDowell, the Providence Foundation, will be on all these tours. He is a historian of some notoriety, and Stephen's written a lot of books. He's going to be answering questions and telling the stories about the people, places, the times and events of Boston and those other places I mentioned too, Williamsburg and D.C. So for information on any of those trips, just go to Wildman, Wildmon, group.com, Wildmon, group.com, wildmangroup.com. And we got all the information, the price, the itinerary, everything we're going to be doing. Just check it out at wildmangroup.com for D.C., Williamsburg, Boston, 2025. I'm Tim with Fred and Ray, and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl joined us. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Getting over this cold thing, so voice is still a little raspy, but...
Well... So what do you got? What's your first story?
I want to throw another theory into the drone mystery. This just coming out of New Jersey. There's a mayor there. His name is Michael Melham, and he is the mayor of a town in New Jersey. And he is saying that they may be looking for something. He may be sniffing something out, these drones. Listen, if you can, to cut 15.
We also know that we have drones that are flying in a grid-like pattern. In my opinion, they're looking for something. What might they be looking for? Well, potentially, we're aware of a threat that came in through Port Newark. Maybe that's radioactive material. There was and there is an alert that's out right now that radioactive material in New Jersey has gone missing on December 2nd. It was a shipment. It arrived at its destination. The container was damaged and was empty. So
okay,
potentially
wait,
we're
stop
looking for
right
that.
There, Mayor, because that's very important information. And that came from a credible source.
That came from the U.S. government.
And so it's missing?
Missing.
And they think it's in New Jersey or it could be anywhere?
It was lost in New Jersey in transit. And again, this is just an example of what I think that we're sniffing for. I think we do have the assets that can go up and fly around and sniff things, which is why we're not seeing the uptick we used to see in Belleville anymore. It's kind of moving, but we're seeing alerts that it's happening now in Pennsylvania.
Belleville, New Jersey, Mayor Michael Melham. And yeah, that's...
Well, so, that's kind of interesting. He says he's getting his information from the federal government. Why isn't John Kirby or somebody else coming out and saying this, that we're looking for radioactive material that looks like it was stolen from a port in New Jersey? Tell the people that.
Yeah.
Why does it come out through this mayor?
I don't know.
That's pretty dangerous stuff.
It would seem to be. I don't know if they're trying to avert panic. I don't know if this is just some total nonsense. I have no insight.
If he were really smart, mayor, and want to take opportunity here, I'd say come to our town. and watch the drones. You know what I'm saying? Pay $5 to park.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? We got hot cocoa over here. I got some bleachers.
Real hot cocoa.
And now radioactive suits, too. You can
some radioactive suits. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Take advantage of this. It's an economic opportunity.
The thing that really puzzles me about this is that these drones, their lights are on. Their navigational lights, the red and green lights, yeah, or whatever.
That's a federal law now.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's some kind of a nefarious government, they'd know how to turn those things off. I mean, they're not hiding, yeah, is the thing.
Yeah.
So,
all right, we've droned out here today. I think we're ready for another story.
Well, this morning, Representative Barry Loudermilk of the January 6th subcommittee, the Republican subcommittee, studying the January 6th committee.
Oh, we got a committee studying a committee?
We got a committee studying a committee.
This must be a Washington story.
Yes. House Administration Oversight Subcommittee and its chairman, Barry Loudermilk, on Tuesday released an interim report on the January 6th Capitol riot, in which they found this, cut 14.
The committee that's been investigating January 6th just released its final report for this year. It accuses Liz Cheney of tampering with the witness, Cassidy Hutchinson, trying to influence her testimony. It formally recommends that the Federal Bureau of Investigation criminally investigate Liz Cheney when President Trump takes over on January 20th. As you remember, Cassidy Hutchinson was the bombshell witness for the Democrats, claimed that Donald Trump tried to commandeer the presidential limousine, take it to the Capitol. We now know that wasn't true. The Secret Service had already told Liz Cheney it wasn't true. She presented the evidence anyways to the American public, tried to give it credence. There's some other testimony where Cassidy Hutchinson talks about a document she claims she wrote it. She didn't. Someone else wrote it. All of that is laid out in this report. But the headline is Liz Cheney could be facing an FBI criminal investigation based on this information that Congress has transmitted this morning.
There's a lot of strange stuff going on. And then they say they're going to release another report on the pipe bombs at the DNC in Washington here in the next couple of days. Are you guys familiar with that story?
Yeah. That was part of the story that came out.
Yeah.
Well, I think the only thing that's going to happen about January 6th, my prediction is that Trump will pardon all of those that are in prison right now. As far as going after Liz Cheney, that might be a stretch.
I wouldn't do that. I would just drop the whole thing, move on. If I were Trump, I'd pardon all the, or whatever you call it, pardon, or is there another word for it?
Commute all the sentences.
Commute whatever you want to say. Just get that behind us and not go after Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney lost her job over this.
Yes. She's finished.
Right? She's finished, yeah. Yep. So, unless she's going to hook up with Harris for like a Harris Cheney ticket.
Wow, what a team.
Right? Maybe a Harris Cheney ticket coming in 2028.
Oh, Lord, let it happen.
You know, okay. Well,
I'll give money to that.
That's right. I'll donate.
I'll take a step back in time for just a moment. Liz Cheney was a good congresswoman.
Yes, she was.
From Wyoming prior to the January 6th committee stuff. She had a good record, and I don't know what happened to her on this deal, but I'm just saying it's a shame, quite frankly. What you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What happened to her career because she chose to join up with the Democrats on this January 6th committee. That's my opinion.
I think, you know, you're right, but I think what happened to Liz Cheney was she was part of the old guard Republican Party. And hated Trump. And she was willing to do anything to denounce, to question his character. And when Nancy Pelosi approached her for joining the Democrat-controlled January 6th committee, I think she was all in.
Yeah.
It was a way to get at Trump.
Yeah.
That's
opinion. I seem to recall her being kind of a little in the middle of the road on Donald Trump before January 6th. Not totally, you know, never Trump. She went off the rails after January 6th, though.
She sure did.
So,
well, hey, don't you think Joe Biden is probably going to pardon her and all the others? I mean, if he's up here in the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pardons and commutations, whatever, don't you think he's going to add those people to the list before?
But what was she? What would, I hear you, right? But I go back to what I was talking to Jenna about. What do you pardon her for?
In this case, she's being accused of tampering with a witness.
Okay. That's the first I'd heard of that. Who's accusing her of tampering?
The J6 committee, the Republican J6 committee, is accusing her of tampering with Cassidy Hutchinson.
Yeah, I remember that.
When Cassidy's the person that said that Trump tried to overpower the Secret Service in his own limousine to take it back to the Capitol. He says, Barry Loudermilk says that Cheney knew that that was false and still put Cassidy Hutchinson up to say it in public.
Yeah, well, Trump's partly responsible for that day because he's the one that told them, I'm going down there, I'll meet you down there, and then he didn't show up. And had he gone down there, he could have prevented them from going into the Capitol. That's my view. I voted for Donald Trump enthusiastically. I'm glad he won. But that January 6th committee, I agree the January 6th committee was a big bondoogle and a waste of time. It should have been a one-month deal and wrap it up and say failures were made on the part of Mr. Trump and others, and that should have never have happened, and that let that be done, that be the end of that investigation. But I'm just saying that President Trump would do well just to end this whole thing and tell the Republicans, too, let's quit investigating this. Let's drop it, move on. We got an agenda to deal with. That's my take on it. So going after Liz Cheney anymore, that she'd already lost her job.
Yes.
As I said, she's already basically been kicked out of the Republican Party for all practical purposes. So I would just say drop it, move on. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Fred, I got to ask you what's going on up in Canada. We've had a finance minister, Chrystia Freeland, has resigned because she's upset with the way that Donald Trump and Justin Trudeau are getting along. And word is, Justin Trudeau might be on his last leg there in the Great White North. What's going on?
He's been on his last leg for a long time. The finance minister who resigned yesterday was also the deputy prime minister. She had sharp disagreements with Trudeau on a lot of fiscal matters, including Trudeau wanted to rest the general, what's called the GST in Canada, general sales tax, for 2 months to give Canadians a bit of a break. But she said, that's not going to work. We don't have the money to do it to begin with. So they had a big spat, became very open. But Trudeau's in trouble because of his carbon tax on everything. He is he's done a disastrous job in the last couple of years. The only party it's kind of like the British Parliament. There's a bunch of parties in Canada, political parties. He has support. He is head of the capital L Liberal Party. Supporting him right now is another party called the New Democratic Party. But even the leader of that party, who is an East Indian man, is grown tired of this. If an election was held today, the leader of the capital C Conservative Party, Pierre Poilievre, would win. He would be the next prime minister. And you would see a total difference in the relationship between the two countries.
And my question, I guess, to you, Fred, is would you see a loosening of the restrictions that Trudeau put on religious freedom, freedom of assembly, the draconian things that he's seizing of bank accounts? Is that going to let up under
Poilievre? Absolutely. Pierre Poilievre is, I would say, every bit as conservative as Donald Trump.
Well, we can only hope then, huh?
Yes. So Pierre Poilievre, what he's calling for is an immediate election, like I'm talking immediate, right, even before the middle of January. And he wants Trudeau out. If Trudeau was to call an election today, he'd be gone.
Wow. I know, Ray, you would feel better in Kansas City if Canada had new leadership, wouldn't you?
We think about it.
They're closer to them than us.
That's right. Look, I never heard this guy's name. Say his name again, the conservative guy.
Pierre Poilievre.
I liked it. That's beautiful.
Yes. Yeah.
I think all Ray's worried about in Kansas City is Patrick Mahomes' ankle.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's right. That should be cut number 13.
That's far more important than any kind of international relations with Canada or any other country.
Any news on that, Ray?
No. And they got to play on Saturday, and they got to play on Christmas. And I'll bet he may miss the Saturday game and hit the Christmas game. I don't know. We're all worried. Everybody's upset here in Kansas City about his ankle.
Been a pretty good year so far.
Yeah, it has been.
It's been a pretty good decade for Patrick Mahomes. Our last 6 or 7 years or whenever he came into the league. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Steve.
Let me suggest some place that Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy could start getting some Doge stuff going.
Get some what done?
Doge. The Department
is that
of Government
French?
Efficiency.
Is that French too?
No, actually it's named – it's kind of a play on a Bitcoin that was a dog kind of – It's
a long story, isn't it, Steve?
I don't want to get into it. Anyway, this is somewhere they could go. Joe Biden, it is reported now, has spent $3 billion in the last 2 years to build electric mail trucks. He got 93 of them built. He also spent $7.5 billion for EV charging stations. He has built 7 of them in 2 years. You think maybe we got some place for Vivek and Elon to start?
Yeah. By the way, related to Elon Musk, I was reading the Bloomberg report, Bloomberg.com. Bloomberg is a news website, more financial news, I guess, is their reputation than anything. So they just reported, Steve, Fred, and Ray, that Elon Musk is by far the wealthiest man in the world. His net worth is $474 billion. Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, is number two. With $251 billion. Wow. So, Elon, I don't know what you attribute that. Well, his Space Link, his Tesla, I don't know. Twitter/X, Ray, I don't even know if that's making money for him. Maybe it is. But the guy just, you know, is like King Midas.
Yeah, yeah. The Starlink, that's close to being a universal, becoming a universal internet system for the whole world. On the cruise ship, I noticed this. The internet that we had down there in the Caribbean was provided by Elon Musk and Starlink. So it's everywhere.
Did you guys hear about a couple of weeks ago, a court stepped in and said that Elon Musk could not get his severance or his pay package from Tesla? Because when he bet on Tesla, when he said he could meet some metrics that everybody thought were totally impossible, but he wanted a big payday if he met them, and he met them, and Tesla wants to give him this money.
How can a judge in America prevent a company from paying somebody for their services? I don't understand that.
Because the amount is $56
billion. I don't care if it's... the amount shouldn't matter. It's the principle. How is that possible?
Well, because they said it's not. The judge said it's not fair to stockholders.
Oh.
But the board.
Well, there's some stuff there I don't understand.
Yeah, the board at.
But
Tesla
the board of directors voted to.
Yeah.
Well, the board of directors, they're responsive. I know you don't. I'm not arguing with you, Steve.
Yeah.
The board of directors of a company would be responsive to their shareholders too.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so I don't understand how a judge can control a private business like that.
McCormick, the judge ruled that Musk and his company failed to prove the huge payout was legally warranted, prompting Musk to take the issue back to his shareholders in August.
Elon Musk is owed this money.
Yeah.
By who?
Tesla.
Tesla,
and it just says the company can't pay it. But you think Elon Musk? I think he's still going to make his house note, don't you, Ray?
Yeah, I think he's got that covered.
You think he's got that covered?
Yeah,
yeah. He is worth. The top five wealthiest men in the world are Elon Musk, followed by Jeff Bezos, followed by Mark Zuckerberg, followed by Larry Ellison. Right. I've heard that name. What does he do?
Oracle, right?
Oh, that's right. Oracle. And then
I don't know what Oracle does, but that's what he's head of.
It's some kind of internet computer technology stuff. Some gentleman named Bernard Arnault. He's a Frenchman. I don't know what. Now, at one time, there was a guy who was the wealthiest man in the world, I thought, who was a telecom guy from Mexico. You remember this fellow?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't see him. I don't see him on here.
Bardell's might have gotten
most of these. Most of these people, like the top 15, except for one of them, are U.S. citizens. They live in the United States. The Walton family.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to ask about them. Yeah. Okay. Are they on there?
Well, number 12 wealthiest is Jim Walton, and number 14 is Rob Walton.
Where's John Boy come in?
Who's that?
John Boy.
John Boy Walton.
Oh, I see what you did there, Steve.
That's good. That's good. If you're under 50, you don't you don't get that.
Tim. Okay. Right there. You know what I'm saying? Right.
You know, there was a time these oil sheiks were amongst the wealthiest. Any names?
Oil sheik. Well, let me see if anybody's got the word Jackson on the end of the name, Fred. maybe they're related to you.
No.
Who are you asking about?
Well, these guys from Saudi Arabia with all the oil.
I don't see any Saudis in the top. Now, that doesn't mean that much of them don't have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the 50th wealthiest person in the world is a guy by the name of Jack M.A. from China, and he's worth $35 billion with a B.
He's the TikTok guy, I think, isn't he? Jack Ma?
Maybe. Anyway.
That sounds right.
Anyway, so if any one of us here is going to crack this top 50, we better get started.
Yeah. Better get
I'm looking around this room.
They're looking for my name. It's
What do you get these guys for Christmas? you say
that's a good point.
What do you need? What do you need?
So you don't think a $50 Outback gift certificate's going to impress them, do you?
A tie.
A tie. They got more ties than they know what to do with.
Yeah.
Now, you could probably get Trump a red tie. He needs a red tie, right?
No. He uses a lot of those.
6 out of 7 days a week he wears
red and blue.
Red tie. But anyway, the point is, in all seriousness, and I mentioned this before, Elon Musk, number one, I think he's the most powerful non-governmental official in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And his power, such that it is with the controlling the satellite internet, it's a lot of power.
He's got his fingers everywhere.
Yeah. So, but he, thank the Lord that he is a patriotic, freedom loving, relatively conservative man.
Yeah.
He hails from South Africa. He came over to the U.S. His story. But his involvement in the presidential election by him coming out in favor of Trump helped Donald Trump win.
Yep.
And I think Donald Trump knows that and has shown appreciation to Elon Musk.
Uh-huh.
Because Elon Musk, as I said, didn't have to get involved.
No.
His money is secure now. There are other things that motivated him, which we can explore later. But all right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Fred.
You bet.
Ray, appreciate it.
Thanks, Tim.
And Brent Creeley, our producer. Let's see. Jenna Ellis was on with us. Chris Woodward was on. And as always, we thank you for listening to today's issues. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. Keep listening to AFR, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.